Amen. Man. His name is power. His name is healing. Church, do you understand that you can speak the name of Jesus over every situation in your life? That is an incredible thing. It's not up to us. It's up to the power of God. And I promise you, he has more than enough capabilities to handle anything that comes his direction. Man, guys, it kind of feels like, have you guys ever seen that movie Freaky Friday? Where Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, like, they eat a magical fortune cookie and they switch bodies for a day. Like, Brian, I don't know if we had Chinese food recently together, but, like, we might be in that situation because aren't you supposed to be preaching and I'm supposed to lead? I don't know what happened. No, I am so excited. I'm so excited to share what the Lord has been putting on my heart for the past couple of weeks with you guys today. We're going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. So if you have your Bibles, and like Brian always says, I hope you do, you guys can go ahead and turn there. But while you guys are turning there, man, I just want to celebrate and highlight what happened this past Tuesday evening here in this room. Man, we as Corey Church had our first Christmas Eve services. And we had over 102 people across those two services in here celebrating the birth of Christ with their families. And I think that's something to celebrate. Can we just celebrate that together? Amen. Man, I am so excited about what God has been doing in our little church in Alabaster here for the past 6 months and many years before that as well. And I am so excited to see what he is going to continue to do through God's people that are in this church, man. I cannot wait to witness it along with you guys. New Year. Happy New Year, almost. We're not quite there. But Happy New Year. New Year, new you. New Year, new me. Love it. Man, I love how we make resolutions. I'm not even going to throw out the statistic. I don't know it off the top of my head, but like, I think we all know, like, we always make these resolutions every year. You know, I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna eat healthier. I'm gonna live a healthier life or something like that. And it's like week one is, yes, I did it. Man, I went to the gym every single day this week. And then week two is like, yeah, I went 4 times this week. And then week three is like, okay, I went like once. And then week four, it's like I'm sitting back at home eating potato chips, just watching football. Like that's all there is. Man, we are not capable of keeping our resolutions. We just aren't. But there is someone who is. It's Jesus, right? He makes resolutions and he keeps them. He is willing, able to, and willing to change everybody's life that is in this room here. He is willing to change anybody that puts their faith and their trust in him. He can change them. So why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. And we're going to read from God's word, starting in chapter 17. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll also have it up on the screen. But starting in chapter 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the truth that is in your word. Lord, you speak truth through your word. You speak conviction through your word. And through the power of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you transform people through your word. Lord, I pray that you would soften all of our hearts to hear you speak today. Remove me from the equation. I am a vessel, I'm a mouthpiece, and that's all I am. Lord, speak through me today, to everybody here today, what you want them to hear. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Man, one of my all-time favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount. This is a good old Baptist church. We all know Come Thou Fount, right? Man, it's such a good song all the way through. But there's one line that resonates with me, and it gets me every time. And it's that, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Do you know what your old self was that Paul was talking about in verse 17? When he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Your old self, you were a wanderer. You were a wanderer in a foreign land. Man. And 1 Peter 2:25 says, compares us to sheep going astray before we knew Christ. And Ephesians 2:12 calls us foreigners wandering around hopelessly before we encountered the love of Christ. And even though that old wandering self has passed away in the eyes of our Lord, we are still tempted by sin. We live in a sinful world, a fallen world, and we are subject to wander around aimlessly, pitching our tent in this ideology, this political group, this group of opinions, and when the wind blows, we strap on our parachute and we let it take us over to the next spot and we pitch our tent there. We're constantly wandering, or at least we're prone to do it. At our very core, we are whimsical, inconsistent, and prone to wander. But God doesn't call us to wander around aimlessly looking for the next best thing. While we are prone to wander, we are called to follow. We're called to simply follow him. Hebrews 12:2 says, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and the finisher of our faith. Church, the wind is not blowing the founder and the perfecter of our faith. It's not. In fact, he commands the wind and tells it where to blow. So we look to Jesus Christ, our firm foundation. But, Trey, how can I look at Jesus? How can I see him? I can't see him physically. How am I supposed to follow him if I can't see him? Well, I would argue that, yes, you can see Jesus Christ. You just have to adjust your lens a little bit. And you adjust your lens by cultivating habits that keep him central in your hearts and your mind's eye. Reading his word daily, for it is a lamp unto your feet and a light for your path. Focus on things that honor and glorify God. Rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance. You guys do know that when you became a believer, when you gave your life to Christ, like, the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of you. Right? That guidance that you feel, that conviction you feel, the peace, the comfort, that's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. And we pray without ceasing in every situation and in every conversation. I know I just started, but I'm going to go a little off topic already, if you guys will allow me. But, like, I think that's so important. Praying through every conversation and every situation is important for every believer to do. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing for a very important reason. One, it does adjust our perspective. Right? It does exactly what I'm talking about. It adjusts our perspective and it gets us focused on Christ. But especially in those conversations, man, when your coworker, your friend, your family member, whoever it is, and they come up to you and they just start spilling their guts out to you and they're talking about how their life is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. I'm caught up in this sin and I can't get out of it. I'm ensnared by it. Or I don't know God and I have doubts about God. And I have questions, and I want you to answer them. Man, when you are having those conversations, you should be praying, Lord, I need you to speak through me because I don't have the words to say. And I know that's hard. Like, I'm ADD. It's hard to listen to somebody talking and also pray at the same time. But I promise you can do it. Because they don't need to hear your words. Your words are going to be fluff, right? They're not going to help that much. Man, and you might get a response out of them with your own words of like, cool, thanks, that made me feel a little bit better. But they're probably going to kind of cringe inwardly and be like, cool, so glad I talked to you about this. That was great. But God is not cringy. God is not filled with fluff. He's filled with truth. And his words are filled with conviction and truth and words that change people's lives and change people's situations. And I tell you what, when you're having those hard conversations and the Lord speaks through you, it really does adjust your perspective. Man, you get through with that and you're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be focusing on God even more right now because that was incredible. that there's no way I could have spoken those words that just came out of my mouth. That was God. Yeah. So fix your eyes on Christ and follow him instead of wandering around aimlessly. But even when we are following Christ, we can get distracted by our sin and even fall into a pattern of living in it. It's a part of living in this world that the temptation to do what we know is wrong can be so strong that we give into it and let it fester in our lives. Church, we are prone to callousness. The Lord calls us to healing. I remember when I used to work in landscaping for a season of my life. Gosh, I hated it. but I did. I worked alongside my wife in landscaping, and she was great. I was not so good at it. But man, I remember like the first day going out, like mostly what you do is just digging. That's just all you do is just digging. Yeah. So you're using shovels, you're using pickaxes to plant plants or install irrigation lines, whatever it is that day. Man, I got through the first day, and this is important to note, by the way. The guys that we worked with were like some good old boys, like, and they weren't wearing no pansy gloves. So of course, like me being 21 years old and susceptible to peer pressure, I'm like, yeah, I'm a man too. I'm not going to wear any gloves. First of all, please wear gloves. It's okay, all right? But I got through my first day, and like I got home, and my hands were raw, bloody, and they hurt so bad. But of course, I'm stubborn. I'm going to go back out there. I'm going to be a man and not wear gloves again. And so day two, I get back, and like it still hurts so bad, you know, and they're bloodied, and they're raw, and Mayor doesn't want to hold my hands. And then day three, like, I started to notice, like, the pain kind of started to numb a little bit. And day four, the pain got a little less, and day five, a little less. And by, like, 2 weeks, I had these massive hard calluses on my hands, and I was completely numb to the pain. Church, we do the same exact thing with the sin in our lives. I'm almost certain that everyone here has grown numb to some sort of sin at some point in their life. We give in the first time and it hurts. The conviction from it can even be physically sickening. But there was some part of us that felt good, so we go back to it. And it still hurts, but after a few times of doing it, we start to feel numb to it. Y'all, that is such a dangerous place to be. While calluses on our hands protect us from pain, calluses on our hearts blind us to the cost of sin. They cause us to feel distant from God. But that's not what we're called to. And throughout Scripture, we see that God has the full capabilities to pluck you out of any situation that you're not supposed to be in and bring you back into his grace and love. He does not leave his children behind, and he absolutely leaves the 99 for the one. He loves us, and he wants what's best for us. But like any good father, he wants his children to mature and learn from their actions. There are consequences to our sin. And there is pain from it. So just like ripping a callus off your finger hurts, so does ripping the callus off of your heart. And we rip it off by going before the Lord, confessing our sin to him, and repenting of it. Pause. I think for most of us that grew up in the church, we learn a language. It's called Christianese, right? And I think we do that with a lot of different words, and I think repentance is one of those things. And I want to make sure that everyone here is fully aware of what it means to repent of your sin. To repent means to completely turn away from. You can't handle that sin on your own. You're going to give it to God, and every ounce of you doesn't want any more of it. You're giving it to God. You're turning it away. You're telling God, I don't want anything to do with this, and I know I don't have the power to do it, so I'm giving it to you, and I'm turning away from it. So we repent of our sin. We also rip off the callus by confessing to one another, not so that our brothers and sisters in Christ can judge us from a lofty place, but so that they can come alongside you and care for you as they are called to do. They can hold you accountable. Confessing our sin hurts, but just talk to anybody who's removed the callus before. Talk to anybody that has been callous to their sin, numb to it, and the Lord called them to repentance and they confessed. Man, it is one of the most freeing feelings in the world. It is so freeing to confess to him, to confess to your brothers and sisters, to confess to the person that you sinned against. It hurts, but it is so so freeing. All that weight just seems to lift off instantly, and in that moment of vulnerability, the healing work of the Lord begins. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable before the Lord, it will change your life. And as you continue to confess to the Lord and ask him to help you, he will transform you into a new person who is close to God and reflecting Christ inside and out. And then one day, maybe a year, 5, 10 years later, you'll look back to that day when you were numb to your sin, when you felt distant from God, and you'll see how far the Lord has taken you. You'll rejoice at the fact that the sin that once ensnared you and held you captive has been ripped apart by God's love and grace. You'll remember how that weapon used by the enemy is now a part of your testimony of how God saved you. But sometimes we can be a little too silent about our testimonies and what God has done in our lives. Church, we are also prone to silence. We are called to boldness. How often are we afraid to speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it's changed us? We are afraid of being labeled, afraid of being socially exiled, and afraid of saying the wrong thing to the wrong person. But we are not called to remain silent. We are called to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our own lives. Verse 19 and 20, I'm going to read that again real quick. It just says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf to others, be reconciled to God. We plead to our family, our friends, and coworkers, be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And I can't tell you how often that pleading has come in the form of me just simply sharing my testimony and what God has done in my life. Man, another thing that I think we get confused by is like, what is our testimony? What is our story? Whenever I'm like interviewing or having a one-on-one meeting with somebody that wants to join the worship team, I always meet with them one-on-one. And I always tell them beforehand, hey, I want to hear your testimony. It's important to me as your worship leader. Like, I want to know where you're at, where your walk is at. And so I want to hear, and I lay them out. I lay it out for them. I want to hear what your life was like before Christ, what that moment of salvation was, when it happened, all that. And then how has your life changed since then? But like, y'all, that's just like the genesis story of your testimony. That's just the very beginning of it. Man, your testimony, your story is constantly being written. You are constantly struggling with sin in your life, and the Lord is taking you through it and bringing you back to his grace and his love. I am 31. If I look back 10 years ago, 21, I'm a completely different person. Man, I can sit there when I'm talking with somebody and they're telling me a part of their story or a part of something that they're struggling with. Man, I can sit there and hear like, yeah, your struggle, your addiction to pornography, I was there too. Man, this is how the Lord brought me out of it. This is where I'm at today with it. Man, you weren't leading your wife the way that you are called to. Man, I've been there too. Let me tell you about how the Lord brought me through it. He's still working on me with it sometimes. Man, your story is so important, and it's such an important part of like evangelizing to other people. So we also listen, right? There's that listening aspect. It's important to understand when you're evangelizing, it's not all about talking, talking, talking. You also want to listen as well. So you can hear those things, and you can relate it back to your story. You can relate it back to the gospel. Church, it's also important, if you're going to be boldly declaring the word of God, you should know the word of God. Man, make 2025 the year of knowing the word of God. Dive into it. Get into it. It's not reserved for those in seminary, and your time and God's word should not just be on a Sunday morning. We're happy that you're here. We love that you guys show up. But this isn't the only time of the week you should be getting into God's word. Man, when the little app goes off, the notification from the Bible app, and it gives you that little daily verse, I was talking to John Roxbury a few weeks ago about this. Like, there's so much context that's around that, you know? And it's important to understand the context. You should know the history of the Bible. You should know God's word so that you can boldly proclaim it. Man, get yourself a good CSB commentary or whatever translation you want. I won't narrow it down to just CSB, but like, get yourself a good commentary Bible. And most importantly, listen to the commentary of the Holy Spirit while you're reading the Bible. And that's so important. He does speak to you through his word. But as you continue to grow in your knowledge of the Lord, you continue to grow in your boldness to declare the knowledge of the Lord that he has given you. Man, church, I'm wrapping up. I'm a worship pastor, so it's not going to take long to preach a sermon. But y'all, I just want to highlight some of those points again that I went through. And because I know that there are people here that are struggling with at least one of these things. And don't be a wanderer. Follow Christ. Don't let the wind blow you around. Stand firm in the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Don't allow your sin to build up and callous. Don't grow numb to it. The Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to take that sin from you. And church, don't be silent about what the Lord has done in your life. Don't be silent about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but be bold. Church, following Christ, healing and boldness can only come through Christ who transforms us from the inside out. So as we get to like New Year's Eve and you guys are setting your resolutions, let's just skip. Like, you can do the gym thing, that's fine. You can do the healthy eating thing, that's fine. But like, hey, if you want to see some real change in your life, give it over to the Lord. Let him transform you. Let 2025, right? Yeah, 2025 be the year that the Lord changes you from the inside out. Man, I'd love for, it's getting to be December or January of 2025, and you're looking back, a year ago, and you're saying, I am not the same person I was a year ago. Man, when God changes you, church, you don't look the same. I mean, you might physically look the same, but there's a different air about you. Right? You talk different. You walk different. Yeah. You walk with the boldness of the Holy Spirit. You walk with the boldness of Christ who has changed you. So allow him to transform you this year. Get into his word. Be bold about his word. Give your sins over to the Lord. And don't wander, but follow Christ. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. But as we go to this time of response, man, whatever it is that you feel like you have been holding on to, whatever sin it might be, the Lord is able to handle it, I promise you. The Lord can take it. The Lord can transform you. It's not going to come by your own power. You can't do it. You will beat yourself up to death trying to do it yourself. But the Lord can. He's more than able. And more than that, he wants to. He wants to transform you. He wants to bring you closer to him. So in this time of response, while we're worshiping, just reflect on those things that you have not given up to the Lord. Reflect on those things or those moments where you feel like you're prone to wander away from the Lord. I'm going to pray real quick. God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that in your name you transform people. God, that when we come to know you, we are no longer the same anymore. Sometimes it takes years, sometimes it's just a few weeks. But Lord, you change us from the inside out. How we deal with things that come up in our life, how we deal with the sin that comes up in our life, Lord, you change how we deal with that because we know we can give it to you. Lord, I pray that you would work in your people's hearts today. Soften them to hear from you what they need to give over to you. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.